Chapter 1, Second Part. Question 3. Write a note on the economic and religious conditions of Europe on the eve of the French Revolution. Answer. In the 18th century, Europe industrialism took rapid strides towards progress and prosperity due to the advent of the Industrial Revolution. The big cities developed near the seaports or the factories owing to the significant changes in trade and commerce. England and France succeeded in establishing big industrial empires on the basis of booming business, but the wealth was concentrated in the hands of a few in the society. Most of the common people lived life below the poverty line. A great number of the city population consisted of artisans. They were the members of different guilds. The industrialists and the capitalists did not treat the workers of lower ranks properly. With the passage of time and the evolution of industrialism, the guild system was altered into trade unions. The nobles and the farmers both lived in the villages, but there was no parity in their standards of living. The common masses had to bear the brunt of all taxation, while the nobles and priests were exempted from paying any taxes. The commoners had a very low income, and out of that meager amount, they had to pay 80% as state taxation, while with the remaining 20%, it was very difficult for them to make both hands meet. Hence, there was hatred and jealousy between the privileged and the unprivileged. Scavelli remarks about the unequal taxation system. In the 18th century Europe, the richer a man was, the less he had to pay to the state, and so the burden on the lower orders was really crushing. What a vicious wreck it was! Most of the European merchants belonged to the middle class, but they had no privileges like those of the nobles. The position of the middle class was financially quite strong, but this class was confined only to England and France. Hence, they did not enjoy the required position in the European society. Moreover, the merchants were compelled to pay heavy octroi on their goods. Clergymen were also free from taxation. They too had several privileges in the European society. They were all in the ecclesiastic regime. They used to receive presents, gifts, taxes, and forced labor from the commoners. Thus, the position of the masses was very miserable from economic point of view. Marriott has remarked in this connection, "Everywhere on the continent, the nobles and the clergy formed two powerful orders distinct from the mass of the people. The privileged orders enjoyed total or partial exemption from taxation, and so the state had to carry on the various functions of the government." A great number of people in the 18th century were chiefly agriculturalists. Land was their sole property. They were divided into two parts, the nobles and the farmers. The farmers were further divided into two groups, the independent farmers and the serfs. The nobles used to perpetrate all type of tyranny over the farmers, and like speechless animals, they had to bear the tyrannical rule of the nobles. They worked hard in the fields, but failed to satisfy their masters and to earn sufficient livelihood. Considering the inequality then prevalent in the economic sphere of the European society, it becomes crystal clear that a revolutionary change was essential in the society, and it could be brought about only by revolution. Amongst all the European countries, France took the lead and raised slogans of equality, liberty and fraternity, and generated a proper atmosphere for the staging of the revolution. Now, religious conditions. During the 18th century, we find three popular religions in the European countries that are Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. The followers of Islam lived in Turkey, and they had a vast empire over the Balkan states. Jews were scattered in the entire Europe. Most of the Jews were either capitalists or industrialists, but they were always looked down upon by the Christians. Most of the people in Europe followed Christianity, but they were also further divided into three folds, namely Roman Catholics, Protestants, and the Greek Orthodox. France, Italy, Spain, Poland, and Austria were the centers of Roman Catholics, but the Protestants had their majority in England, Prussia, Holland, Sweden, and Germany, and the Greek Orthodox lived in Eastern Europe. The age of ecclesiasticism came to an end in the 18th century, but there was absence of religious toleration in Europe during this age, till the Roman Catholics used to torture and terrorize the followers of Protestantism. The superiority of church was recognized in Europe, but the public had developed a feeling of hatred towards the priests owing to their luxurious and corrupt life. Voltaire, the popular philosopher of France, inspired the people to revolt against the church, as it had become a hotbed of evil practices. He said that the church was an infamous thing, and one might not follow it blindly. So, along with other ancient institutions, the supremacy of the church was also consumed by the flames of the French Revolution. Thus, the European society was divided into both economic and religious spheres. The tyrannical supremacy of nobles and priests inspired the people of other classes to revolt against their privileges. In fact, it was a struggle between the exploiters and the exploited, in which ultimately the exploited revolt for their existence. Now, points to remember. First, the people were also divided economically. The nobles and the priests were free from all taxation, while the peasantry bore the brunt of taxes. Second, the guilds ultimately took the form of trade unions. Third, agriculture was the chief occupation of the people, but it was based on obsolete type of farming. Fourth, the masses had to pay taxes to the government and to the clergy as well. Fifth, the commoners were poor, discontented and exploited. Sixth, there were three popular religions in Europe, namely Roman Catholicism, Protestantism and the Greek Orthodox Church. Seventh, they did not have any feeling of toleration for one another, rather they persecuted one another severely at times. Eight, the supremacy of the Church ended due to the writings on Voltaire and other philosophers of the contemporary period. Ninth, the corrupt and luxurious life of the priests made the downfall of the Church inevitable. Now question 4. Write a note on the political conditions of Europe on the eve of the French Revolution. Answer. A great revolution took place in France in the last decades of the 18th century. It not only affected France but almost the entire Europe. Before the outbreak of this great revolution, the countries of Europe were ruled by autocrats who used to exploit the common masses along with their feudal lords. All political power was confined in the hands of the privileged class. Robertson, an eminent historian, has remarked, "In the middle of the 18th century, what we call democracy was unknown. Over the greater part of the Europe believed in the divine right and ruled with the help of a strictly limited ruling class of nobles, from whose ranks were drawn the statesmen, diplomats, and military commanders of that time. The kings of European countries were despots of the deepest hue. They considered themselves to be the representatives of God on earth. The idiosyncrasies of the kings were the laws of the states. The kings were leading a luxurious life. The taxes levied on the common masses were unjust and arbitrary. The religious intolerance and fanaticism was the order of the day. Roman Catholics and Protestants were at daggers drawn with each other. An eminent historian, H. Rose, has written, "Absolute monarchy was the prevailing form of the government in Europe on the eve of the French Revolution." During the 18th century, the chief countries of Europe were as follows: first, France; second, Germany; third, Spain; fourth, Austria; fifth, Italy; sixth, England; and seventh, Russia. A brief survey of the internal development and external relations of the leading European countries up to the middle of the 18th century will help the readers to better understand the consequences, course of history, which unfolds itself in the subsequent chapters. Now, France. Louis XV ascended the throne after the death of Louis XIV, his grandfather. His uncle, Duke of Orleans, was appointed his guardian, as Louis XV was only 5 years old at the time of his enthronement. At the time of his death, Louis XV, who had waged several wars and made the royal treasury empty, told his grandson not to indulge in further wars. But Louis XV, who was merely a child, failed to follow the fast words of his grandfather and took part in two major wars, that are the War of Austrian Succession, 1740-48, and the Seven Years' War, 1756-63. These wars not only resulted in crushing defeats for France, but also further weakened the tottering economy of the country. During the reign of Louis XV, the government had to face serious financial crisis. Moreover, the prestige of French military power greatly declined, and England emerged to be the greatest colonial power in Europe. After the accession of Louis XVI, 1774-92, the financial condition of France began to decline rapidly. No doubt, Louis XVI moved heaven and earth to improve the financial condition of the country and appointed several finance ministers, but he could not prop up the decaying structure of the French treasury. His royal queen, Marie Antoinette, was a spendthrift lady, and she used to squander fabulous wealth on all sorts of luxuries, and the king had no courage to annoy her. Her wasteful extravagance all the more aggravated the economic condition of France. It was during the reign of Louis XVI that the Great French Revolution broke out in 1789 AD. Now, Germany. Germany was divided in more than 360 small independent states. There was no unity among these states, and all of them thought and acted according to their own sweet will and selfish ends. Some princes of Habsburg family of Austria ruled over these small states, and some of them were under the direct control of high dignitaries of the church. Some other states were ruled by the nobles. The only similarity in these states was that they all owed allegiance to the Holy Roman Emperor. The Emperor of Austria was known as the Holy Roman Emperor. Pointing out to the significance of this empire, Voltaire had once said, "The Holy Roman Empire was neither holy, nor Roman, nor an empire." C. D. Hazen, a prominent historian, has also remarked, "This Holy Roman Empire was, in fact, a weak and powerless empire, in spite of its high-sounding and glorified name. But it had nothing but disabilities. As the emperor's office was not based on the principle of heredity, but was elective, so the emperor enjoyed only the pomp and show, but had no real power of authority." Austria and Prussia were two rival countries which wanted to establish their sway over Germany. Both of them were always in search of a chance for crushing the power of the other. In the latter days, Frederick, the ruler of Prussia, increased his power and established his authority over Austria. During his reign, Prussia assumed a respectful and powerful place among the German states as well as in Europe. Now, Spain. Spain was the most developed country of Europe during the 16th century. It had discovered America and had established its colonies there. It also held its sway over Sicily and the Netherlands. But the glory of Spain did not prove to be lasting. During the 17th century, Spain was reduced to the status of a second-rate power in Europe. Charles III and Charles IV endeavored their best to regain the lost glory and influence of Spain, but that was not to be. Now, Austria. The position of Austria among the European countries was of great significance. The King of Austria was designated as the Holy Roman Emperor. The Habsburg family ruled over Austria and enjoyed a pride of place among the kings of Europe. But the Treaty of Westphalia, 1648 AD, affected the position of Austria adversely, and she lost the first place of France. The title of Holy Roman Emperor still clung to Habsburg family. The Austrian Empire was quite weak, and people of different nationalities lived in it who spoke different languages, worshipped different gods, and had different cultures. They had no loyalty for the empire, so it was very difficult to keep this vast empire intact. Maria Theresa and Joseph II were the ablest rulers of Austria. They reigned in Austria during the periods 1707 to 1780 and 1765 to 1790 respectively. Though Joseph was enthroned in 1765, but so long his mother survived, he could not hold the reins of administration independently. It was after Maria Theresa's death in 1780 that he began to act as administrative head. Joseph was a very just and liberal ruler. He always worked for the good of his subjects. He declared German the official language, but did not suppress the other language. He followed the policy of religious toleration and permitted every individual to follow his own religion. But all these reforms and liberal acts of Joseph II could not satisfy the people of different nationalities living in Austria, and they began to revolt. Thus, even before the outbreak of the French Revolution, there was great chaos and confusion in the Austrian Empire. Joseph II was shocked by the revolutionary tendency of his subjects and the failure of his policy, both in internal and external spheres, and breathed his last in 1790. Leopold II, his brother, succeeded to the Austrian Empire. He also adopted a liberal policy, but owing to the outbreak of the French Revolution, he had diverted his attention from home policy to the impending danger from France. Now, Italy. Italy had a very glorious past, but it was divided into many small states during the 17th and 18th centuries. Lack of nationalism among the Italians had marred the unity among them, and these states always remained at daggers drawn with one another. Some of the Italian states were under the thumb of foreign powers. Seeing the deplorable condition of Italy, Metternich had once proclaimed that Italy has become only the geographical expression. Emperors of France, Austria and Spain always endeavored to establish their control over them, and some of them were already under their control, owing to lack of nationalistic feeling. The patriots of Italy failed to complete its unification. They could achieve their goal of unification after half a century. Now, England. Among all the European countries, England had a very significant position. Constitutional monarchy had been established long before the advent of the French Revolution. The policies of England were very much influenced by the Civil War of 1642 and the Glorious Revolution, also known as Bloodless Revolution of 1688. The king was merely a constitutional head in England, while the real power was concentrated in the elected representative of the nation. They were directly responsible to the parliament. American War of Independence had eclipsed the prestige and glory of England, and the nation was heading towards the downfall. But the able leadership of Pitt and Younger proved beneficial for England. Within no time, he had regained the lost glory. During the prime ministership of Pitt the Younger, the French Revolution broke out. He tried his best to safeguard his country from the evil effects of the French Revolution, and all the political parties of England helped him in this national cause. Now, Russia. Area-wise, Russia is the biggest country of Europe. Up to the 17th century, Russia was counted amongst the weak and undeveloped countries of Europe. The people of Russia were wallowing in poverty and misery, and had no contacts with the diplomatic or political activity of Europe. It was during the reign of Peter the Great that Russia began to emerge as a strong nation. During his long reign of 53 years, he moved heaven and earth to transform Russia into a modern European state. Soon his efforts proved fruitful, and Russia began to develop into an advanced and progressive country. The succession of Catherine the Great after the death of Peter III proved advantageous for Russia. She held the reins of administration efficiently and restored peace and order in her country. She also showed her worth in foreign affairs, and invading Turkey and Poland, she extended the territory of Russia up to the Baltic Sea in the north and the Black Sea in the south. She had very close contacts with Voltaire, Diderot, and other French philosophers, and maintained correspondence with them. In the final summing up, we can say that the weak and deplorable condition of Europe failed to check the powerful tide of French Revolution. All the countries of Europe fell prey to the growing autocracy. In fact, Europe was as a whole did not exist in 1789. Now, points to remember. First, autocracy was the most popular form of government in Europe before the outbreak of French Revolution. The kings were the staunch followers of the theory of divine right. Second, nobles and feudal lords of Europe used to enjoy so many privileges. The will of the king was the law of the state. Third, religious intolerance was rampant everywhere. The Catholics and the Protestants were at loggerheads. Fourth, there were seven important countries in Europe, namely France, Germany, Spain, Austria, Italy, England, and Russia. First, the internal condition of France was more appalling than the other countries of Europe. Louis XVI failed to forestall the economic crisis and made the French Revolution inevitable. Second, Germany was a very weak country owing to her division into 360 small states. Third, Spain lost her pride of place during the reign of Charles III and Charles IV. Fourth, the Austrian ruler was known as a Holy Roman Emperor, but he had no power. Maria Theresa and Joseph II tried to make her country prosperous, but they did not succeed to this end. Fifth, Italy was also divided into a number of small states. She was mostly under the sway of foreign rulers. Sixth, constitutional monarchy was established in England before the outbreak of the French Revolution. Her prestige was tainted by her defeat in the American War of Independence, but soon she regained it. Seventh, Russia was considered an uncivilized country up to the 17th century, but Peter the Great and Catherine transformed her into a modern European state.